doing in Denver, what effect you're doing on all of that is something we need to look at. The draft standard, 6 years old, but again with a phasing trajectory. So if we recall some of that background, recall it as help us to then contextualize where we are in the municipal space. So just very broadly, municipal surgery, what does it do? It administers the financial management regulation framework and rendered assistance on financial management. The MFMA, again, the focus over the last while has been on budgeting, accounting, and reporting reforms. Now with the establishment of the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer, more on supply chain will be really major emphasis over the coming years. The structure of the supply chain management team within the National Treasury has now started to be both for the establishment is something that is and the auditing area was another area that we need to gear up. So what assistance has been rendered? So far, we've looked at coordination assistance with the Department of Corporate Governance, with the Auditor General, Office of the Auditor General, with SARA. We have coordinated meetings every quarter to try and address some of the calendar, or driven by the calendar, of financial reforms. So we can have bite-sized chunks at this quickly on the agenda. Continued research and improvement, help desk facilities that they've created to try and assist municipalities directly. Training programs have been developed to do inductions of the financial management for new incumbents, the formal training for the 53 service providers, and so forth. Guidelines have been issued and now over 71 circulars. The last being a set of indicators and the issue around cost containment measures. In keeping with the cost containment measures is also a mandate where you see myself representing the Treasury, and unfortunately we have to leave others behind this moment. The financial recovery service has been established, support to municipalities to develop financial recovery plans upon request. Now that's where we think the challenges are, when it's upon request. And if a municipality doesn't ask for the support, it's not generally provided. So there's a gap between upon request and so forth, how we implement that. Then there's a technical assistance component, which is made up of a few technical assistance areas, largely to support and improve financial management, to placement of technical advisors. Now, you will know that as the technical advisor program grew, the pool of technical advisors and the competencies of these technical advisors started to go down. So the cream of the crop was selected up front. As we go into the system, we have even challenges in attracting the right technical skill to be part of the technical support. So the conditional grant has been administered, the FMG, and my colleagues in the intergovernmental section also manage the integrated support grants on service delivery. Largely, we'll talk to that a little later, it's around infrastructure elements and the internship there. The next issue spoke about a coordination structure, but I think you will soon perhaps also know that this has helped to start to gear up the provincial DCOGs and the provincial treasuries. So some of those mandates around engagements and meetings and discussions relate largely to how we can make those institutions more effective. And that's not even discussed. The structure of governance and the Department of Governance has largely been historical in nature. And to have that change since the enactment of the MFMA and the system of life structure needs also a review of the institutions in the province to see how that changes and what change we can make. We've worked with the Department of Public Service and Administration to address the challenges in the treasuries. Whether the MECs and the provincial executives are taking a lead from that research is another issue. But we've done research and we've put it out there for the Department of Public Service and Administration to address the structural issues in the provincial treasuries. similar things may, if not already done, could help in the problem solving problem in the problem. That could help us maybe in the next one. The other regulatory issues that have been put in place, I think the committee is aware of it, all published on the website, and it's done in a very structured way since 2004 up to date. The latest one has been to try and address some process issues and challenges around unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. We found around that is that there's been contestation about application largely for what the legislative framework is about and how the Auditor General interprets it very much. That has also created tension within the municipalities and resulted in some of the audit findings that you are seeing. We're working with the Auditor General on a regular basis to get a common understanding on how that should be applied. Budgeting and cost containment measures, we spoke about that now. It gives effect also in the PFMA instruction notice that was just recently issued. The uniform financial ratios and norms, which has been widely consulted, has been issued. It would provide a basis and a platform for a common understanding on the numerator and denominator to be used for uniform financial ratios and norms. In that, you'll be happy to note that there's a section dealing with the allocations towards repairs and maintenance. And therefore, the current 3% should be within the range of between 10 and 15% as the general engineering profession suggests. So it's something that can be looked at and over the medium term measured to see how municipalities are allocating resources. Besides the other uniform financial ratios, we hope part of this that there will be a consistent analysis and interpretation of what the finances is about. You will see rating agencies putting out a note on the municipality differently. You will see a press report putting out a notice on the municipality completely differently. And people interpret these numbers quite differently to suit their own needs. So hopefully this will be some standard that municipalities can over the medium term implementation. The other big challenge has been around systems of delegation. One of the outcome cloud deliverables for this administration has been to implement a system of delegation within the municipality. And we thought that is an approach that was real assistance in trying to get a municipal official assigned the responsibility through a delegation from the council to address the fundamental problems around, I don't know what I'm employed to do, what can I do? Here is a system of delegation approved by council, you will execute that. Now that is being done for the financial management side, including the regulations. So delegations are in place, cascading. Now the issue is, have we got all the other delegations that are supposed to be put in place? We can monitor that. And the last is around the financial management capability maturity model. We'll link it to the presidential and the presidency's MPAT framework that delves deep into financial management capability. And we can measure this over time. Those last two were the presidential outcome 12 deliverables that we committed to and finally concluded. Honorable members, the financial recovery plan and other measures. Now, I'm not reading every of these slides because of time. You know that issues are in the framework and the legal framework. Except to say that in the last while, over the last year, we've looked at alternative measures. And we've signaled to the following municipalities that we will be withholding some of the equitable share allocations. Should some of the fundamental issues like a financial statement not be issued on time. And that has happened, that has changed some of the mindsets of municipal officials, whereby for this last round, the financial statements minus two municipalities have all been issued. So we're getting a feel that some of those actions are taking place. But that was a signal in the process of stopping funds. And that is a crude measure as we all know about. And perhaps in the next while, when we really start stopping the funds, two more actions will be taken. That's the big stick that possibly out there. The appetite to use it needs to be explored. The intervention reduced the persistent failure to the AFSs, which spoken about that. And what are action plans? We are starting to monitor and measure the action plan. This is based on some of the plans that we have in place. The Ministry of Finance Recovery Service also issued a guide to support provinces to improve the coordination and the step-by-step practice notes. We worked with the Department of Cooperative Governance in this regard, and hopefully the new framework that comes up will strengthen it. Where did we assist? The type of assistance has been largely in municipalities and was direct financial recovery plans developed with, yes, Marie Kane, Sunduzi, Naledi, and Bush Bandage. Now, we need to understand what is entailed in these plans to cover both the institutional part, the technical part, and as well as elements of service delivery. In some of these plans, you will see the role for water test should be there to come and address the matter. In some of these plans, you will see another sector department taking lead. In some of the plans, you will see financial management being elevated to a larger extent, and so forth. But they're all different plans based on the challenges of that municipality. Now, the biggest thing and the slow pace of most of them has been for the councils to actually take the decisions of appointing people and getting the job. That has been the slow pace of the action plans. So that's part of the recovery plan. And just to remind honorable members, in the New York case, the first intervention in New York where it was under a major intervention was in 1975. When we visited New York around 2000, the main comptroller's office was still present. That's over 30 years later. That's how long a proper thorough intervention takes to address a big city like that. For the smaller cities, I think we're expecting too much in 6 months, in 12 months. Because the system has failed to such an extent with these interventions, and longer-term intervention is wanted to change much, much more. That's just one example. I think of practice we may need to look at and be more bold with our legislative changes if we want these successes to happen. That's just one research example. I quote other research examples are there. In the Joburg intervention in 1997-98, was a council of 10, you may recall, established. Not the 150 councillors taking decisions anymore for a period of time until Joburg was restructured to such an extent that changes happened. I was part of that team that helped structure that change. Hopefully successful now. If not, what to handle. There were also broader interventions of the nature, skip that slide, I think you have it on your back. They're not always supported by the structured plans. These are the issues that we need to deal with in the future. If we want them to work, we need conditions. We need conditions also when we withdraw. We can't just withdraw and think that things are going to happen next day. MPs, I think, honorable MPs, we have to take that one. That's very serious. It's done by the provinces. But when the provinces look at intervention, they don't put conditions and measure and monitor those conditions. It's left. Like in my case, three interventions have happened. I think honorable Charlie will know about this. One was three interventions. Stop. Again, intervene. Stop and then intervene. And that's a lot of energy and resources and efforts put in there. So similarly, we need to look at what conditions we are now putting in place as we exit. I think the other parts of these issues are much more concise and tight deliverables. You know, the wishy-washy wording of our plans and milestones need to be really firmed up. If we want to deliver by a certain date, we must say it. We must be able to think that for us. Will help us to monitor and oversight to play its role. And I think they improved monitoring as well by executives and this committee, for example, can help us, can really help to make the changes. The technical advisory support. What have we been doing over the while? The MFMA support plans have been developed through the former DBSA program has been dismantled, and now 3 years on, will be March this year, will be the third year, where we started to look at the technical part of the infrastructure side and the financial management part from the enterprise side. I think similar conditions apply in both the programs, but just to understand, the reforms are based on institutional reforms to promote accountability and oversight, focusing on the structure itself and the processes to be followed. Then the technical reforms to transfer skills to the municipal officials. There is a steering committee established with the mayor or council of finance as the lead in MMCFO to monitor progress. So we want accountability to fail. We don't want accountability to come back to the treasury or to any of us for the failures of that municipality. When we put in the support, should be absorbed. And that's the issue around why council takes to make its own executive decisions. Now, if that's not working, then a radical change of the legal framework is required. Are we up to that task? It's a question that we need to raise with legislators. To say, something is broken after 20 years, how do we fix it? Touch the edges and tweak at the edges, or are now we going to be at a stage to say, let's really get down on this. In such a way that we have to change something radically. I'm just raising this as some of the issues to possibly address our solutions. We also look at then councils taking the decisions that allow decisions to be made in-house. That often is not the case. That's where the problem comes in. People lack, are scared of taking decisions for some reason or the other that we see taking place. We do provide monthly and weekly updates of reports through to the councillors, through to the Council for Finance, through to the Municipal Manager. Now, whether that is being accepted is another issue. So the absorption capacity and here are some broad statistics of priority emphasis on where we've been working with. It's about the appointments. Whenever we get in, we ask for the same thing. We try to push for it. Some cases we help drop the adverts. In other cases, people are doing CDs to try and make that work with us. In some instances, we help to review our paradigm. In other instances, we looked at where the process failures where we fix that. In some instances, we also looked at why the outsourcing option was used and why there's no oversight over the outsourcing. In some instances, and in most, we piggybacked on the financial management grant to see that the interns are capacitated to be absorbed again after their training. So we looked at most of this, including the review of delegations. Some of the training interventions, what do we try to do? Over 4,500 trainees and development interventions. Now this is across all the financial disciplines. So there's a hell of a lot of work that has been done. Now, the choice we have to look down the track is, has this model worked? So 3 years on, is it enough to say this model is working? Or is this not working? In fact, did our initial mid-year assessment as well. 3,700 officials were registered on the minimum competency. So the skill side is moving. Where did we focus on? Budgeting, revenue, accounting, and supply chain. That's largely the area. Now, municipalities have received support. 8 provincial treasuries receive support with full-time advisors to help build their own capacity to do their daily job under the MFMA. And 76 municipalities receive support. Now, we are starting to withdraw these supports. Well, from December, we've asked municipalities, which of these positions is not filled? Why are these conditions not being met? If they're not being met by February, we're going to withdraw support. What are you saying? Then we get letters from mayors coming in. No, you cannot move the support. We need the support for all reasons under the sun. Every reason you can find. Mayors took into those letters. I don't know who drafted those letters. Somebody did. So it's about not wanting to meet the conditions but keep asking for the same support. So at some point, honorable members, they have to take a decision to make this work. It's about time I think we start taking the decision. People will take up the FMG conditions broadly, what they are there, the objective of the grant is to generally deal with financial management. I'm not going to dwell on it. I think members know that particular. Just about because of the appropriation, we need to perhaps understand where the spending levels are. For 11-12, our expenditure levels were 94%, 12-13, 96%, and the mid-year through is already on 49%. Now, the details are there. This may be interesting to see where the support is going to, where are these funds going to. I hope it's a bit clear there, but the funds largely are going to the red block, or pink block, you see it there, or the purple block, whichever color is one on the right. 41% of that is going towards training of interns, capacity building, and so forth. Quite a big percentage. Over 50% is going towards capacity building. The rest is split up more or less small chunks. Some are implementing corrective action, others on preparing financial recovery plans, and so forth. And some on the IT systems and the like. What the support plan meets the conditions of the grant. Now we're trying to get a better output. The internship program, where we now have 1,200, just over 1,200 interns in 2010-11. We now just over the 1,800 mark in 2012-13. So that internship has really grown now. If we maintain this, in 5 years' time, we should not have capacity for training. I don't know. If the people are being saved, they're at rock. We can't complain that there's more people in the world. What we are seeing, though, is those that have been trained, appointed in smaller municipalities, have now got jobs in bigger municipalities because of the salary scales, and have moved. So there's capacity migration moving along from rural to urban because of the pay scale. Or maybe other things. Here again is just the Chief Finance Office scale, where we can look at acting positions. There is no CFO, just a very small layer top. Fair problems. And then the budget, when we look at just some measurements about where did this grant go to, we see people adopted their budgets on time, except for old form, which is earlier on. The status is there, and preparations started to be done in-house now, from a low base to some improvements along the way. So this reform is starting to go. Then we just looked at a quick one again, to show you the establishment of internal audit units, audit committees to improve oversight and other structures. That's about the same. It's grown 97% in both cases. That's been a big drive over the last 2 years to get audit committees. And then the submission of AFS, as we mentioned earlier, it's grown from 238 submissions on time to 263. And then the audit action plans, we're measuring whether actions are being taken by the municipalities from what audits are being shown. Audit reports. And one can see now the audit action plans place their problems. Numbers have started to grow. And where there's no audit action plan, we fall into on those and try and figure out how we can support it. And there's also a declining trend in audit findings, so just under 4,000, many are in the process, to just under 3,000 or 1,000 audit findings. The spending on the grant, very quickly, again, it's around the 50% mark, the some outliers, most of the I'll take for 20% spend, but we believe they will pretty soon catch up. Over the 4 year trend on the grant spending, it was quite low at 86% at the beginning of the period, but now it's around 96% as I spoke earlier on. The infrastructure support development grant, that's just an additional program that's been introduced to try and look at the IDIP complementary program that is happening in the provinces. And this was driven by our colleagues from the IGR unit to try and address some of the problem internships right here. It was introduced in 11-12. I think it's still finding its feet. The program then is part of the Division of Revenue Allocation. Program generally has been communicated to municipalities, and lots of healthcare is a water bots are now being used to train the water related interns, those are working on the water issue. And that's how you've probably seen an article recently in one of the newspapers in Swahili, there's been handover of these interns which have been up there and so forth. The critical factors have been put up, they are both within municipalities as well as through public entities, and there's a graduate program. Not so much quantum wise. The program has just basically started, and you can see as the cloud unfolded what has happened, and now over the end of September there was some take up of the applications. And the remaining transfers is probably should be done by January February after some of the conditions are met. These are the municipalities that are receiving the support. From small, typos as well in the process, but generally they are municipalities working with the water board and helping to sustain some of the forms. There's a tiny little bit of writing of the papers, but it's for all fields, and largely I think complements what the MISA program is really told, that the colleagues, one of the colleagues in MISA has also been one of the most instrumental in starting this program. So there's some confidence in MISA. And the training and duration absorption has been an issue again. Engineers require a minimum of 3 years working experience in order to qualify. We're looking at working with other professional bodies. And the first batch of graduates actually in the program in 2013 and beyond. Chair, I think very quickly, there's been some big challenges around the initiatives. Service level agreements need to be in place, more roadshows are taking place, partnership with the water board, we spoke about one-on-one sessions and training. Now, broadly, and I think you discussed it earlier, but the issue is there is a combination of support that's being provided. Technical assistance, conditional grants, training definitely is starting to have a positive impact. If you look at our assessment that we've done over the last 3 years on this program of the MFIP, you found that people are saying to us, it has made a difference, but not in all cases. It has made a difference where there was a commitment in the municipality to want to make a difference. That's an important condition attached. The challenge about absorption and appointment of skilled officials still remains. That's not going away, unfortunately. And we need a different solution. And what that is we look to your wisdom to also guide us. The movement of training officials from smaller to larger, we spoke about that. Commitment is there in some cases, but not all. And the reliance on service providers is still great. If you go to a municipality and you ask them, who's doing this work, you will find that there's a service provider doing some of this, and it's contributing. Now we're trying to wean ourselves off the service providers, but I don't think we'll be able to do that in the short to medium term. It's going to be a real energy. That's why a long-term approach is needed to implement these reforms, not just the financial reforms, but all the reforms we've been speaking about. Now, how long is the long-term? If we look at the 10-year trajectory of real embedding down some of the local government reforms, not the 20 years of democracy, 10 years of the municipal space, or less, how long should we give ourselves to achieve this? What is the try to examine this ourselves. You know, some developed institutions around the world for municipalities and governments have taken 100 years to where they are now, and they still have problems. If you drive on their Amtrak rails or whichever rails you find, you will find rusted bolts on the tracks crossing over rivers. They haven't fixed it. Disaster waiting to happen as well. And those are democracy. 100 years, 200 years, democracy is important. So what we are going through now, we need to take a sobering look at to see, are we expecting too much within that short space of time, or are we expecting too little? So people are impatient out there, but What is our trajectory for these reforms? You see, 5, 15, 20 years. This is something we need to examine. We need to research on other countries, how they got to the state where we are. We have the best legal framework in the world, but we don't have the implementation capacity to address it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We are expecting more. Thank you very much, panel members. 1:30. This meeting is scheduled until 2:00. I'm going to request that we adjourn for lunch and have a 40-minute lunch and come back, take salga and then take questions so that we, by the time 2:00 comes, we are done. Thank you very much. We'll break for lunch and then 10:02 we are back. Thank you very much.